Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Constellation Kegger. TA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Tampa to Tacoma, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Way are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And as always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. We got a big show coming up for you on a Wednesday before the holiday weekend. We've got a lot to get to, including Mothership at the Movies. Yes, on Wednesday mornings, we always take another American sports film, break it down from a sports angle and aspect, dig in to the granular level of said movie, and really get inside all of the corners to fully flesh out the sports side of these films. And today, we do the 1993 classic, The Sandlot. A fantastic movie, a group of kids based in the 60s, a nostalgic, wistful time where this young group of misfits played baseball in a sandlot every single day, and their adventures through the summer are documented here. So we'll do The Sandlot, Parts 1 and Parts 2, starting at hour number 3. Mothership at the Movies leads off hour number 3 and continues in hour number 4. Also, NASCAR's number 38 car, John Hunter Nemechek, the young John Hunter Nemechek, is going to join us coming up here on the show in hour number 4 as well. Also this morning, we've got some rankings out of the current NFL head coaches. Are the young Bucks better than a guy that has won a Super Bowl and gone to another? Also, we've got Stunned to a News. We've got the immortal Marv Albert and Hubie Brown in the news. We've got a champ and a chump as well. And could Spencer Torkelson give the Detroit Tigers a summer juice? That's all coming up this morning on the show. As always, you can connect with us on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. But let us begin in the NFC South, because just a couple of days ago, Matt Ryan made news. A couple of days ago, Matt Ryan was asked who the best quarterback in the NFC South is. Now, the NFC South, of course, has now two future Hall of Famers in it, and who knows about Matt Ryan, where he ends up in his career. But with Tom Brady heading to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Drew Brees still in New Orleans, and Teddy Bridgewater now signing a big deal in Carolina, there's some real steady, rock-solid quarterback play in that division. I think it's inarguable that the best division in football for quarterbacking is the NFC South. No other division has two future Hall of Famers in it that are still as effective as Brady and Breeze, and add on top of that another Super Bowl quarterback and former NFL MVP in Matt Ryan. But the Falcons and Matt Ryan, of course, have never won a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan had a 28-3 lead in the third quarter of a Super Bowl. I'm sure Falcons fans would prefer me not bring this up, but that was the peak, the apex so far of Ryan's career. He was the MVP that year. They were the number one seed. They went all the way to the Super Bowl and held that extraordinary lead in the third quarter, of which we know they blew it. But when you look at this, Matt Ryan's caught a lot of heat for this suggestion. But is there some truth there? Because, look, Tom Brady's 43 years old. And you have Drew Brees already in his 40s as well. And Brady showed some wear and tear on him, certainly by the end of last season and into the postseason loss against the Tennessee Titans. Drew Brees, this could be the end, his final year. And Brees last year was injured, and they lost that wild card game at home to the Minnesota Vikings. And Teddy Bridgewater, in his place, was phenomenal last year for the Saints. Is Matt Ryan on an island? Is he delusional? Or is he the best quarterback in the NFC South? Wait, what? It is where we begin your cold open.
First and goal at the 9. Here's Ryan, play fake to Freeman. Matt going to flip it out in the flat. Here's Ridley. Cuts back at the 5, drives to the end zone for the touchdown.
Would you say you're the best quarterback in the NFC South?
I think currently, yeah. I'll go with myself.
Yes. There
you go. I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Matt Ryan on Pardon My Take. Now, let's face it. At that point in time, it's kind of hard for Matt Ryan not to say, yeah, I'm the best, because he's asked, are you the best quarterback in the NFC South? And if he says, no, yeah, it comes off a deferential maybe to one of the two Hall of Famers, but it also kind of doesn't elicit a lot of support, I'm sure, from his teammate, and you want to have that confidence. It's a great question directed towards Matt Ryan. There's no way to kind of snake your way out of that with a politically correct answer. But let's actually break this down. Is Matt Ryan the best quarterback in the NFC South? I would say no. If I'm ranking the four quarterbacks right now, I'm sorry, Teddy Bridgewater, as great as your season was last season. And let's face it, you couldn't really ask for much more from Bridgewater in those games that he started in place of Drew Brees. Bridgewater's going to be number four on this list. So Bridgewater is at number four. If I'm looking at where Matt Ryan sits, it's either two or three, and it depends on what you value. For me, I'm going to put him at two, and here's why. Incredibly, Tom Brady, to me, as effective as he still was last year, and obviously he was effective, Brady showed signs of a deteriorating arm. And there's a lot of Brady sycophants that don't want to hear this. There's a lot of people that love Brady so much, they absolutely don't want to admit that Brady last year took a step back. But he did. And the Patriots' record didn't necessarily show that. But if you watched closely the games in which Brady lost last year, and the Patriots lost to some of their better opponents, the division leaders like the Texans, like the Chiefs, you saw pretty consistently against the best competition that Tom Brady was not able, with his lack of arm strength, to create big plays downfield and make sure that that offense consistently moved. Good defenses, good pass rushes, and good teams really made Brady look old, and the Titans did that exact thing in the divisional round of the wild card round as well. So I'm putting Brady at number three, which is no terrible shakes considering he's 43 years old, but I'm putting him at number three. I'm putting Matt Ryan at number two. Ryan's season last year statistically was fine, and he's been a top 10 QBR quarterback for a number of years now. But there was a lot of games last year early in the season where Matt Ryan did not do enough to help his team win and had some bad losses. Remember that with Matt Ryan at the helm, the Atlanta Falcons began the season 3-8. 3-8. And when you look at some of the wins that they had at 3-8, it was not exactly the best foes. They beat an Eagles team early that would end up skidding through the entire season. They beat a Panthers team with Kyle Allen as the starting quarterback last season with those 3-8 starts. So Matt Ryan, while statistically was fine last year, the time when he really turned it on late was when the season was basically over. But Ryan's at least still in his prime, and I still think has a couple of really good seasons left in him. I think the best quarterback in the NFC South right now is actually Drew Brees. And I know that he's older, and I know that he was injured last year. But when you look at Brees' season last year, if people only focus on the wild card loss against the Vikings, where he was not good, okay? That was a bad final taste in the mouth of everybody. Brees was fantastic. Drew Brees, at his age, in just 11 games, threw for 3,000 yards, went 8-3, had 27 touchdowns against 4 interceptions. I mean, again, he had 11 starts last year because he lost that time due to injury, but went 27-4, touchdown to interception ratio, had a QB rating of 116, went 8-3 and threw for 3,000 yards. Had he played a full season, that would have been 5 more games last year. He easily would have crossed 4,000 yards and probably would have had somewhere around 37 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Drew Brees ended last season in not good fashion. But Brees' year overall was incredible. And who knows what it's going to be a year older. But I can't doubt him because he did it again last year. Brees is the best quarterback in that very quarterback-heavy division. If we get the NFL this year, NFC South is going to be fantastic to watch. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Matt Ryan says that he's the best quarterback in the division. Is he? I think he's number 2. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, how would you rank the NFC South quarterbacks?
I'd love to disagree with you, DA, but I'm going to be in lockstep. I would go Brees 1 as well. However, I would say that's 2 straight years I've seen Brees towards the end of the year start to show his age quite a bit. So I am very concerned going into this year what we will see. We saw that last year with Tom Brady. That was the secret that it seems like only you and I want to talk about throughout this offseason, is that Tom Brady did not look like the Tom Brady, and that was, by the way, finally expected to be. So I obviously would put him 3. And for Matt Ryan, I think this is a pretty easy exercise. We spent the first couple days of this week talking about Cam Newton, and there were plenty of people on social media who kept harping on, yeah, but Cam Newton was an MVP a couple years ago. If Cam Newton's that kind of guy, the Patriots are going to be great. But yet, a lot of those same people are probably laughing at the fact that Matt Ryan wants to call himself the best quarterback in that division. Well, what if Matt Ryan can revert back to the MVP quarterback he was? It would not shock me if we finished this year with Matt Ryan having a better year than Drew Brees or Tom Brady, just by the fact that those guys are much older, and we know that Matt Ryan's capable of doing that. I think Matt Ryan has been bogged down in a very bad coaching staff behind Dan Quinn, in my opinion. Very overrated situation. I think he still has way more left in the tank than those other two guys, so I think that number 2 spot behind Brees, ahead of Brady, is the perfect sweet spot for him entering the season.
And it would have been nice to see what Ryan could have done with Kyle Shanahan for more years. Right. I mean, that year that they went to the Super Bowl, Shanahan had that offense absolutely humming, and Ryan was the perfect quarterback with all of those weapons. And once Shanahan left, even though he had a lot of weapons, Ryan hasn't been as effective as that year. Had the Falcons held on to that lead in that Super Bowl, how much differently do you think we would be thinking about and talking about Matt Ryan?
He's in a Hall of Fame slam dunk. Slam dunk.
He's a slam dunk Hall of Famer.
Because if you actually look at where he's, and I know that the passing era has completely changed, a lot of his numbers, whether it's yardage, touchdowns, and where he projects, he's going to be right there with the Elis, Roethlisbergers, and Rivers when all is said and done. If he's not already there now, and he probably is to some extent, yes, I think if he wins a Super Bowl and he'd beaten the Patriots, slay the Patriots, there's no doubt in my mind we would be thinking about Matt Ryan already as being somebody who's punched his ticket to the Hall of Fame.
You know, it's funny. We have a couple of slam dunk Hall of Famers that have only one Super Bowl ring, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. And those guys, their careers to a large degree are considered complete because they have that Super Bowl. Of course, Drew Brees has done this incredibly effectively for a really long time. And Aaron Rodgers has been just extraordinary for a long time as well. But we don't look at those guys kind of like, oh, yeah, but, because they have that ring. And while Matt Ryan might not give you the gasps that Aaron Rodgers have been able to and might not have this kind of really long career of superhuman numbers like Drew Brees, you know, it would only be holding on to one fourth quarter lead for Matt Ryan to be in a completely different conversation for most NFL fans, you know?
Yeah, or not throwing themselves at a field goal range late even after they blew it. But nonetheless, that whole era of Matt Ryan could be different. And by the way, I don't think the story's done with Matt Ryan. Again, I would question how long you're holding on to Dan Quinn and company. But Matt Ryan for the next 5 years, you never know, man. The NFL's a funny game, and if the NFL is ever going to be the funniest, it's going to be in 2020. So I wouldn't sleep on Matt Ryan or the Falcons. This would be one of those situations with all the talent. You still just never know.
I wouldn't either, and I always bang the drum on this. The Atlanta Falcons annually are my most frustrating team because they every single season come into the league with some of the best talent in the NFC and some of the best talent in the NFL. They have drafted remarkably well. They develop remarkably well. They've got a really smart front office, and they consistently fall short of going deep into the postseason. But they always have weapons around him. They play indoors. They've got an offense that on some nights you just go, wow, you know, how do you stop all of those different options? So I agree. I don't think the book is over and written on Matt Ryan. It's funny, though, that I think when Matt Ryan says I'm the best quarterback in the division with Drew Brees and Tom Brady, people just start laughing. And they wouldn't really laugh had he just held on to a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Marv Albert will not be calling NBA games in the bubble. We'll talk about this story next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Big upside.
Morning, DA. How you doing? So I caught up on your Nomad show, and I really think it's excellent that you do that when you go to places. Me as a fan of your show, I now feel a little bit closer to you as a sportscaster, even as just an individual.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You can check out my Nomad series, available on YouTube. Subscribe there and get all of the episodes. Binge watch. We're all looking for things to binge watch this summer. It's free. My travel series surrounding sporting events, food, drink, and exploration. Nomad, available on YouTube. It's an Ask the Pros Day where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hey, we've got good news here. You guys are rocking the vote. Andrew Bogish and his brethren from the 2000s at Fordham's Broadcast School are leading the vote between the class of the 2000s and the class of the 1980s. Now, Bogish is with some other heavy hitters as well, and he is getting he's got a nice, healthy lead right now. And that's a good thing because it's him, class of 2000s, Mike Yam from the Pac-12 Networks, a friend of the DA show, Spiro Didis, who is one of the voices of the NFL and college basketball on CBS, Tony Reale, the host of Around the Horn. I don't think I'm missing anybody there. That's the class
Ryan
of the
Rucco.
2000s. Oh, Ryan Rucco, you're exactly right, who's a basketball broadcaster for ESPN and the YES Network as well. So, big time class of 2000 that Bogish is with, and they're leading the class of the 1980s from Fordham, which includes Michael Kay, the voice of the Yankees, Bob Papa, the voice of the New York Giants, and who else is in that class of 1980s?
Charlie Slows, who just got a World Series ring with the Nationals. They have absorbed Chris Carino, who started in the 80s but graduated in the 90s, and Chris is the voice, the longtime voice of the Nets. So it is that's murderer's row.
And they Mike Breen. And Mike Breen.
So they should win.
Bogish wanted to hide Mike Breen. Knows he'd be doomed with votes.
No, I assumed you already mentioned Mike Breen. I'm trying to get an update because the last update we had that you're working off of is from 3 p.m. yesterday. So a lot could have changed since then.
Okay, so look, when you look at some of these heavy hitters from Fordham's broadcast school, Mike Breen, voice of the NBA for the 1980s, and again, Michael Kay, voice of the Yankees for the 80s as well. You flip it over to the 2000s, you got successful guys. So this is a good battle. And what you're telling me, Bogues, what I saw is that the latest update is that you are winning the 2000s, beating the 1980s right now. Do we have a latest tally here? Because we asked the D'Aliens yesterday to be voting and voting often for you.
Yeah, and first of all, let me thank anyone that did vote for me. I feel it in the deepest part of my heart, and thank you so much for doing that. I cannot find a new update just yet because I can't find the button to vote again to get results. That's the only way I know how to do this now on my own, which is maybe because I'm a dope. But I do want to point out, as much as I would like to win this, this has not been a scientific exercise this entire month at Fordham Athletics, because at least in the men's basketball competition, the Digger Phelps team of the early 70s that made the Sweet 16, the only Fordham basketball team that was nationally known in the history of Fordham basketball, basically lost its head-to-head competition with a team from the early 90s. So all bets are off when it comes to this bad boy, but I'll take the win as cheap as it might be. And we can only vote for 2.5 more hours, so we're almost there.
I have the update, by the way.
Okay, let's get this Fordham vote update. What do we have, Mraz?
The 2000s lead 60.2 to 39.8.
That's a healthy lead. That's a healthy lead here.
I will say, as he talks about unscientific, there are only 123 votes. So I would say, I would say to Bogus's point, yeah, it is a little unscientific.
I voted for Breen. And to be honest, only me and Mike Yam have been discussing this on social media. So that's probably all of those votes are attributed to me and Mike somehow, between family, friends, viewers, listeners. It has gone unmentioned by everybody else. So we may sneak out a win just because this only matters to me and him and not anybody else.
So if we did this with other decades for Fordham, I mean, you'd have Vince Scully in the mix as well. I think Scully probably was in the class of the 1940s, maybe the early 1950s.
Wow. Yeah, 40s is right, and it would just be Scully, basically. I don't think there's anybody else that comes from that era. But it's interesting you bring him up because he has a story that's much like the Sandlot, where he broadcasted Fordham baseball, and one of his good friends played baseball at Fordham, I'm trying to get the story exactly right, and ended up being in the majors, and Vin called his games there too, much like Smalls becomes the voice of the Dodgers and is broadcasting Benny's games. So I thought of Vin right away last night watching the end of Sandlot again, and it's good that you mentioned him here this morning, and hopefully his good fortune can help me win a popularity contest online.
We are reviewing The Sandlot for Mothership at the Movies, and we'll start that coming up in about an hour and a half from now. But Vin Scully, even if he's the only broadcast grad from that decade, either the 40s or the 50s from Fordham, should win this thing going away. Just Vin himself should absolutely run away with this vote.
Vince
he's the greatest baseball broadcaster and one of the greatest broadcasters ever. Doesn't he carry his class?
Yeah, but he's never done Half Hollow Hills women's volleyball. He's never done a Delaware Blue Hens game with Kadri Ismail.
So we're saying that Vin's not versatile enough to win this vote.
No way. No way. He's never done Stunder with News.
I do want to point out that Vin Scully not only is the greatest baseball voice of all time, did local and national, called the World Series for years for NBC, but also called the NFL for NBC Sports as well for a number of years.
Yeah, God. We've seen a lot of NFL voices. I understand that. We've never seen Vin do Alliance primetime. Like, he's never done a fledging Spring Football League highlight show.
Okay. All right.
Now, that is Sean's best point. I love Vin. He probably would be okay at it, but I would have my doubts on day one of Vin co-hosting any kind of spring football highlight show.
I
so
like
maybe
the idea
I do
that
have that over him, but nothing else matters.
Who are you aligned with?
He'd be okay at it. I like that. He'd be okay at it. So I bring this up not only to make sure that Bogish wins this vote, but also I think this is kind of a cool thing because going to Syracuse, I would like to see how votes would go as well. You know, at SU, we had a lot of great broadcasters and a lot of great decades, and Marv was certainly one of them. Marv Albert is basically, you know, one of the founding fathers of Syracuse broadcasting. And so many guys that came after said they went there because of Marv. Marv was there, I think he graduated in the mid-60s, if I'm not mistaken. And Marv went there because Marty Glickman went there. But then everybody else went there because of Marv. So when you hear Costas and Tirico and Ian Eagle and all of these guys, Dick Stockton, it's all, well, Marv went there, so I had to go there. So Marv was in the news yesterday because Marv is not going to be calling the NBA games, which is kind of crazy. We're going to have an NBA playoffs and NBA finals without Marv Albert. Now, Mike Breen calls the finals now, but for years Marv did, and that was a reminder watching The Last Dance about the Chicago Bulls that the voice of the finals all of those years was Marv Albert, except at the very end when Costas replaced him because Marv was in a little bit of hot water. He was in the tabloids those last 2 years. I think it was 97, 98. He was taken off of the finals games, but I digress. So Marv has been one of the greatest voices in NBA history. I think you could argue he's the greatest basketball play-by-play voice ever. I would put him there. Now, I'm partial. I really love Marv's style. I think Marv as a Knicks broadcaster was unbelievably iconic. I loved his sense of humor when Marv would do, you know, the follies and go on Letterman. And I just think that, you know, Marv for so many years has been such an unbelievable broadcaster that you got to give him also the Lifetime Achievement Award. It wasn't just a peak in the 80s or 90s. He is still incredible at his craft. But Marv's not going to do basketball this year because he's too old to be in the bubble. There's too much risk there. And so he's taken off. So who knows who's going to end up sliding into that conference final slot and get a lot of those big games for Turner. It could be Brian Anderson. Maybe it's Ian Eagle. And I would love to see Ian. I think both those guys are great, Anderson and Ian. Either one would do a great job. But I would love to see Ian Eagle call conference finals games. Wouldn't that be cool? But Marv, in classic Marv tongue-in-cheek fashion, said that because of the bubble and because of the outbreak of coronavirus spiking in Florida, didn't necessarily feel all that comfortable going down there. And I will try to do this in my best Marv voice. He said that the guy that oversees Turner Sports, Jeff Zucker, said to me, maybe this is something you should skip in your age bracket. That's a terrible Marv Albert. Sorry. Ooh. So he said, I'd like to point out to you that 79 is the new 78. I mean, that's a great line from Marv. He's 79 years old. 79 years old and still going at it. And so how about also that Hubie Brown might not be calling games because he is 86. So I've got to just say, can you believe Marv and Hubie are this good at this age? That Marv is 79 and is calling play-by-play as well as almost anybody does in basketball, and that Hubie is 86 years old? 86 and 79! Those guys are immortal! That Hubie Brown is nearing late 80s and 90 and is still calling games? I mean, Mraz, if you didn't see Hubie Brown on TV and just heard his voice, I don't think you would assume that he's in his mid to late 80s.
No, no. Obviously, we know him as an older man, but mid to late 80s? I mean, yeah, there. I believe I have spent more Christmases with Hubie Brown than I have my own grandfather, almost so much so that I owe him a gift. But yes, there's no way I would think he's that old.
Also, Kevin Harlan could be in the mix for that number two slot as well in the NBA, the voice of Turner. So this is what happens. Breen's going to get the finals, and I'm guessing one of the conference finals, and then the other conference final is going to be either Harlan, Eagle, or Brian Anderson. All three of those guys are great. I would say that Harlan probably would feel the most natural because he's the oldest of the group, and he's been calling the NBA for so long, and he's called so many huge games. But you really can't go wrong, wouldn't you say, with any of those three guys calling the conference finals instead of Marv?
No, you can't. But remember, the after effect of this is the conference finals would be right at the beginning of October into September, which means Harlan and Ian, who do so much NFL, would they have to remain in the bubble and not do NFL football? And on top of that, the third guy, Brian Anderson, is Turner's lead voice for the MLB postseason, which will be going on in October. So either the NFL or Major League Baseball is going to suffer with one of their best voices having to remain in a bubble to call NBA games, which is going to cause a wild ripple effect that maybe only us broadcasting nerds care about.
I can only say this. I'll never make 79 doing this show. There's no way. There's no way I would make 79, never make 86. I don't have whatever Marv and Hubie are doing. I don't have that. I just think I'll lose it. I think I'm going to lose the fastball. I think we're going to lose the ability to, you've got to think quickly. You've got to be good with your words. You can't be slowing down. Your motor skills have to be sharp. You got to be paying attention to everything. I mean, these guys are still studying charts and stats and players and bios and backgrounds. I don't think I've got it in me. I really don't. I think I could make my 60s doing this show, but I also don't think a lot of people want to hear old guys doing sports talk radio either. Maybe play-by-play is different. But do you really want to hear a sports talk host that's in his late 60s, early 70s? I know you don't want to hear somebody 79 doing a talk show. I know it. Nobody wants to hear 79. And 86, forget it. I mean, you might as well just bury the guy underneath the studio. There's no way. I mean, how old are people going to want to hear a DA show go? I think, maybe we've got 20 years left, Mraz, but I don't know. I think Connor's going to have to take over.
What am I going to do? What do you mean you only got to? No. You keep doing shows till I tell you you don't do shows anymore, until I know I have enough money to be able to retire. That's it. I need you.
I'm glad you got the pool in this summer. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you're giving me an anxiety attack. And by the way, better chance.
I'm giving you 20 years. We've already done 7.5 here on the network, but I've done 20 myself. I don't know. Do we have more than 20 years on the DA show left?
I think we got to make 30 at the network, right? We got to be the last original show standing on the network.
If we make 4 years, by the way, we're here longer than any other morning show on the network.
Great point. And do you think there's a better chance you're still hosting at 79 or I'm still alive at 79? Maybe that's the poll question today.
Hosting.
I don't know, Bogues. What age do you think that you're going to have to hang up the vocal cords, hang up? Like, I could transition into doing something else, but I don't think I could do a daily four-hour talk show at 79 years old like Marv is doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could call games longer than you can host a show because I think your age matters less. Marv being the perfect example of that. I don't know that I want to hear Marv do a three-hour talk show, but Marv doing a basketball game is still okay. Football, he's gotten a little sketchy at. But more like for me, like I just want to go home at some point. Like even if I could still do it, like I just want to retire. And these guys hang on until the very bitter end. And why not? It's a great job, and they're making money, and it's fun. But like at some point. Like, my plan is to hopefully have enough money banked that well before 70, I can go home and just hang out and do whatever, golf.
Well before 70.
Learn how to fish. Well, I mean, like 65. Not any that soon. But, like, if I'm still working at 70 because I have to, things have not gone well.
Well, I mean, the Summerall thing always strikes me. You know, by the end, here in Summerall, do the Cotton Bowl was a little scary. And so I just don't want to be Summerall Cotton Bowl DA show. That would be devastating, which is funny, by the way, that Bogues, you and I are like, man, we're just going to have to hang them up. We're just not going to get to 70 or 80 years old. And Mraz like, no, keep working. Of all the guys that would say, don't retire early. Can you believe it's Mraz?
I got no retirement plan. I got to basically work to support and do whatever. Let's go.
I would have thought you would be the first one to be like, yeah, at 65, no. I'm taking Social Security and getting out of here.
I personally come from the standpoint of I feel like I am the type that the moment I retire, I'm dead within a year because I have nothing to get up for every day. So I really believe that. Like, there's nothing – like, this is the only thing that keeps me going. Like, if I got to go home – I mean, how many – I already know what retirement's like. I've spent the last 4 months of my house watching Law & Order every day and hanging with my kid. I basically – the only thing that's going to change is she's going to be changing my diapers. I'm not going to be changing hers. I don't know. Like, I can't – if I retire, you might as well just start digging the hole. That's it.
See, there's a lot to unpack here because that is the that's the thought of many guys in this situation, plus coaches too. They really do think that they're going to die when they stop working, so they keep working. But on the flip side, Sean can say, D.A., I'll keep working because is he really working? I mean,
fair.
He just gets up, goes downstairs, basically has the same conversation with you that he'd have with a friend, whether it's on the radio or not, and then goes back to the backyard. So, I mean, he's already like 60% retired at the moment.
It's
so it's
true.
Kind of – he's living
it's
this
true.
Weird gray area of working and being retired, and they're really interchangeable almost.
It's really true because right now Mraz is wearing a throwback New Jersey Nets T-shirt, probably cargo shorts with sandals, and this weekend he will probably be talking about somebody at Blob's Bar about who the best quarterback in the NFC South is. It's
right.
Probably actually halfway to retirement. You're exactly right, just doing the show as is.
You actually gave me too much credit. I'm again wearing gym shorts for the 45th straight show because the cargo shorts would involve a button, and I can't be wearing any of those right now.
Poll question, will Mraz be alive after a year after retirement?
Vote's going to be unanimous.
Andrew Bogus has our headline to this morning. Bogues, what do we have?
D.A., these ones are sponsored by the Rocket Mortgage Classic, changing the course for Detroit. Find out more about how the Rocket Mortgage Classic is connecting the community at rocketmortgageclassic.com.
Here's Andrew Bogus.
Coronavirus cases are up in Florida. Multiple NBA teams are dealing with multiple positive tests, but Commissioner Adam Silver remains...
Too bad the bubble wasn't in South Dakota or Idaho or any of the states that didn't have a massive spike. The bubble is in the one state that is right now crumbling under positive tests.
And
two bubbles, by the way. The NBA and MLS were like, just Florida. Right. We're good in just Florida.
Well, and the WNBA. That's the third bubble.
Yep. And we're also now in this zone where people are arguing over the validity of the term bubble because you can come and go apparently as you please if you're Adam Silver and maybe the broadcasters you ran through as well. So now people want it to be called a clean site because it's not a bubble that you go in and stay in for months. If you can exit and enter, it's not technically a bubble. And you know me, I'm all for dorky, like, grammar and semantic conversations. This one's dumb. It's a bubble. I'm calling it a bubble. I'm not calling it a clean site. The commissioner, again, pretty confident they'll be okay. He, though, is going to come and go as he pleases because he thinks to do his job best, he sometimes needs to be in New York and not in Orlando. Meanwhile, the Nuggets practice facility has reportedly been closed since Saturday because of two positive tests within their 35-member travel party for Disney. That's on top of Nikola Jokic getting COVID-19 back in Serbia. The Nets, though, were able to open their building yesterday after missing a few days following DeAndre Jordan and Spencer Dinwiddie testing positive. And the Pelicans say three unnamed players have COVID-19. Our good friend Robert Kraft was kind of back in court yesterday for that pesky solicitation charge down in Florida. The hearing before an appeals court was held via Zoom, and Kraft wasn't officially involved. Lawyers are still arguing over the validity of the search warrant and video surveillance used against Kraft and the other 24 defendants. The initial judge ruled in their favor, saying police overstepped their bounds. Meanwhile, new Pats QB Cam Newton, new teammate Mohamed Sanu, already working out together on UCLA's campus. Minor League Baseball made it official yesterday. We've expected it all along. No baseball for them this summer. And by next year, who knows what it'll look like. We could have MLB dictated contraction. And according to Minor League Baseball's governing body, more than half of their 160 teams right now need cash to stay alive, either from the government or from private investors. DA, back to you.
Thank you, AB. You know, why couldn't the NBA have just put the bubble in like Burlington, Vermont, or Omaha, or Des Moines? We would have been fine at this point. It would have been boring for the players, but you know what? It would have been totally safe, totally sealed off. Everybody would have been fine. When we come back here on the show, we've got This date in Mothership history, and a reminder that the DA shows Mothership at the Movies today goes inside the Sandlot. That's all coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in Mothership history.
Last year on July the 1st, the Knicks once again struck out at all the big free agents. Why? James Dolan tried to play the kazoo. Here's the clip.
If Jim Dolan's dad didn't create basically cable in the Northeast, Jim Dolan would be your server at Applebee's. And he'd probably screw that up.
When you dine with the president, he only eats the meat.
He's born into a billionaire household, owns two professional franchises and Madison Square Garden, and plays in a band, but doesn't just play any instrument. He can't play the guitar. He can't play the drums. This man plays the kazoo. That's James Dolan, owner of the Knicks, in his JD and the Straight Shot band, singing a song about what you order when you dine with the president.
Rack of lamb, country ham, hold the broccoli, please.
Be careful what you eat, and then playing the kazoo. Do you think NBA agents, free agents, players, coaches, anybody, walks into a room with that guy and goes, oh yeah, we're gonna win here?
If you have lunch with the president, be careful what you eat.
Instead of go New York, go New York, go, Madison Square Garden's introductions and hype song should just be the kazoo. A blithering idiot, and he's mean on top of it.
That's not nice.
He's an idiot, and he's mean and insecure.
You're using low journalism. That's not nice.
He only eats the meat.
Would you go work for that guy?
If you're Bobby Portis, yep.
It is truly amazing. What a blithering idiot owns the Knicks, the Rangers, and Madison Square Garden. Really. I mean, he's honestly a blithering idiot. And look, I can deal with dumb people. I think we all can. We all do. But you can't be mean on top of being a blithering idiot. You know, that combination does not work. If you're really stupid and are devoid of talent, and you can't really contribute to the family, your job, or society at whole, at least be nice. If you're nice, everything is just forgiven. If you're polite and you're nice and you don't have an ego, everything else is fine. We can deal with a world full of nice, dumb people. That's fine. It's when the dumb people are really mean. And that's James Dolan. That's what's so unbelievably incredible about him. He's got no discernible value here. I mean, he just, what's the part where you go, yeah, but he inherited all of his millions and billions. He has no ability to actually be successful at the job that he's been handed. He basically buys his friends because nobody wants to hang out with him. He's not smart, he's not funny, and he's not nice. It's a disastrous combination. Just a disaster. Just an absolute disaster. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit? Car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's what's on tap. Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.